This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What the latest bank earnings tell us about fears of a recession. Plus, we dive into Twitter's attempt to keep Elon Musk from walking away from his $44 billion offer.
They're trying to force someone to buy the company who does not want to buy the company, or is saying he doesn't want to buy the company. And so that just, regardless of the financial situation, that puts Twitter in a weird position.
And why the price of a hot dog and soda at Costco hasn't changed since 1985. It's Thursday, July 14th. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. Elon Musk is facing questions from regulators over the timing of his decision to end his $44 billion deal to buy Twitter. The Securities and Exchange Commission published a letter today that it sent to Musk in early June. In it, the SEC asked why Musk didn't update a disclosure filing after he tweeted in mid-May that the deal, quote, cannot move forward until Twitter clarified how many accounts were fake. Representatives for Musk didn't return WSJ's request for comment. The SEC was previously looking into why Musk didn't disclose that he had bought more than 5% of Twitter within 10 days of crossing that threshold. We'll have more on that deal and the ensuing lawsuit later in the show. J.P. Morgan Chase says customers are still spending and businesses are still borrowing despite rising inflation. But executives at the nation's biggest bank say there's more uncertainty than usual and it's setting aside more funds to prepare for loan losses in the future. That hurt J.P. Morgan's profits, which fell 28% in the quarter compared to this time a year ago. Here's WSJ reporter David Benoit.
We often look at the banks for clues about whether there's a recession or not. JP Morgan is the biggest bank in the country, has all these relationships and consumers and businesses. Their CFO came out and said, look, we've looked really hard. We don't see any actual sign of a recession in our numbers right now. Our clients just are not showing us a sign of recession. That said, the bank said, we're a little bit worried about the economy. We don't know what's coming down the pike. We're going to put aside this money for possible loan loss reserves.
Morgan Stanley also announced a profit drop of 29%. Both banks saw investment banking revenue fall and missed analysts' expectations for per-share earnings. Stocks fell sharply after those reports, but markets pared their losses later in the day. Here's our markets reporter, Akani Otani.
JP Morgan, in particular, I think investors kind of got a little bit nervous after they saw their results because they said that they set aside quite a bit of money to cover future loan losses that they see potentially coming down the road. And basically what that says is JP Morgan believes that maybe the economic outlook is looking a little bit less strong in the coming months. So we really saw a bunch of the bank stocks fall following that, as well as the broader market. But in the following hours, we did see quite a bit of a comeback. And that's just also sort of par for the course during earnings season.
The major indexes ended the day mixed. The Dow closed down 143 points, or just under 0.5%. The Nasdaq ended up less than 0.1%, and the S&P dropped 0.3%. Amazon says this year's Prime Day was its biggest ever. In a statement, the e-commerce giant said shoppers purchased more than 300 million items during the two-day sale. Bestsellers included beauty products, Apple Watches, diapers, and kitchen items. The company didn't report total revenue, but said small and medium-sized businesses saw more sales growth during the event than the company's own retail business. According to the research firm Numerator, which tracks Prime Day data, the average order price was $52.26, up from $44.75 last year. Mortgage rates rose again after a three-week decline. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage has climbed to 5.51%, says Freddie Mac. That's up from 5.3% last week, but still lower than a June peak. Mortgage rates have been moving higher as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates. A year ago, the 30-year mortgage averaged 2.88%. The sharp increase in rates has pushed some buyers off the market. Sales of previously owned homes have fallen for four straight months. For the first time since 2002, the euro has fallen below a one-to-one exchange rate with the dollar. WSJ reporter Chelsea Delaney says several factors have been weighing on the euro this year.
One is Russia's war in Ukraine. It's really disrupted the EU's energy supply. And, you know, the European economy, particularly some of the more industrial-focused economies like Germany, they're really built on cheap Russian gas. This was something that allowed them to stay really competitive in the past years. And so that's all been really turned on its head now. A lot of European politicians have been warning that we need to prepare for a full-scale cutoff of Russian gas in the coming months. Those fears have been really the main driver of this most recent leg down in the euro.
Parity is largely symbolic, and it's not expected to impact financial markets. But as we talked about this morning, a weaker euro could drive up the cost of imports and lessen the value of Europe's exports. In Italy, Prime Minister Mario Draghi says he will resign. The move comes after a key party in his coalition pulled support for his government, following debate over whether to send arms to Ukraine. There have also been substantive disagreements over domestic and foreign policy, including how to respond to inflation. Draghi's resignation is the latest sign of political instability in Europe. French President Emmanuel Macron lost his parliamentary majority last month. And Ivana Trump, the first wife of former President Donald Trump, has died at age 73. Coming up, Twitter has sued Elon Musk for trying to back out of his purchase offer. But is there even more at stake in their high-profile lawsuit? We'll talk about that after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
Will he or won't he? That's been the question for months. And last week, Tesla CEO Elon Musk announced he wanted to back out of his $44 billion offer to buy Twitter. This week, Twitter responded by filing a lawsuit in Delaware. Musk's lawyers say that Twitter misled him about the number of fake and spam accounts on the platform. They say that misrepresentation voids the contract. Twitter's lawyers say the company, quote, bent over backwards to answer burdensome requests for information and that Musk didn't give evidence for his accusations. Billions of dollars are at stake, but this court case could also have deeper ramifications. Joining me now to explore those consequences is WSJ tech reporter Megan Bobrowski. Hi, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Twitter says the questions that Musk is asking about those bots, it says it has answered those questions. Can you tell if they have? And kind of what is at stake for Twitter at the moment?
It's sort of complicated because Twitter uses all these internal metrics, you know, some privacy information that they don't necessarily want to be public or out into the world, to audit these bots and to figure out, to do the way that they sample bots. And so they gave Musk information, a lot of information, more information, I think, than they give most customers. But backtracking a bit, Musk had previously said he was either going to join the board or he was going to buy the company or he was going to start a rival. And so Twitter sort of hints at this in the lawsuit by saying, like, they only want to give and they're only are required to give Musk information that pertains to closing the deal. And so Musk is asking for all this information about the spam bots and, you know, all these internal metrics. And Twitter sort of hints at the fact that, hey, this could potentially not be being used to close the deal. What if this is being used so that he can then build his own platform and have an idea of how Twitter works? And so there's sort of some tension there with Twitter, you know, wanting to help give information that's necessary and important, but at the same time saying, you know, we want to make sure this is actually helping close the deal and not being used for some other reason.
What is at stake for Twitter if this deal flops?
At this point, Twitter, I think, is in a position where, you know, there might be the $1 billion that they might get if Elon Musk pulls out. They could settle. The court could force him to buy it and go through with the deal as they originally signed. But so I think Twitter's in a sort of tricky position because, you know, they're trying to force someone to buy the company who does not want to buy the company, or saying he doesn't want to buy the company. And so that just, regardless of the financial situation, that puts Twitter in a weird position where, you know, employees, I think, are sort of concerned. Some have quit, and they did lay off some people, although that could just be due to the market conditions. They did fire some executives. So Twitter, after this whole saga is over, regardless of what happens, is going to look like a completely different Twitter than it did before.
This question of fake accounts, a lot of sites have fake users. How do you think this case between Twitter and Elon Musk will impact future tech deals?
Like you said, there's a lot of spam on a lot of platforms. I mean, I get it on Facebook, I get it on Twitter. So I think the fact that there's spam and bots out there is not like a novel thing to anyone. I think where it becomes sort of an issue is when you're estimating what percentage of your users are bots to advertisers, because advertisers are using those metrics to then, you know, price the ads and say, okay, we're going to reach this many people. And so that's sort of one area where it matters. But again, it's a really tricky thing to calculate, and the company calculates it in a way where they use data that they're not necessarily releasing to other people. And so it's really hard to know. And so that's why some outside groups have tried to do the analysis, and, you know, they've said, okay, we think it is a bit higher, but they acknowledge that they don't have access to the same data that Twitter is using, and Twitter's not going to give them access to it. So we'll see. The bot issue is not the only issue at play here, though, and so I think we'll see how that plays in court.
I've been struck by how vocal Elon Musk has been about Twitter, even as he tries to buy it. You know, Twitter says their merger agreement includes a line that blocks him from disparaging them. And now in their lawsuit, Twitter says Musk broke that agreement. He said, of course, on Twitter in May that the deal was temporarily on hold. He wrote on Twitter that Twitter accused him of violating an NDA. He bugged the Securities and Exchange Commission to look into Twitter. Is this just how we do business online now, or do you think Musk is going to face consequences for going on Twitter to talk about Twitter?
So I think this is a really unique case in the sense that we haven't seen this before. I mean, rules are rules. And so, you know, if you sign an agreement saying that you're going to tweet, but you weren't going to disparage the company, and you weren't going to break your NDA, and you weren't going to, you know, encourage, I mean, this wasn't explicit, but I think probably counts under the disparagement clause, that you're not going to ask the SEC to investigate the company that you're trying to buy. Historically, you might get in trouble for these things. But again, I think that's where this court case is going to be so important, is what the court rules and to see, are things changing? Are we in a different stage now? But if you sign an agreement saying you weren't going to do all these things, you could not do these and would presumably get in trouble for doing these, which I think that's what Twitter is trying to enforce by taking the deal to the court.
When you talk to legal experts, what are they saying about his chances of winning?
Legal experts seem to think that Twitter has the upper hand here, since, you know, laid out in their agreement, here are all the conditions, and, you know, he has to meet these conditions to be able to back out of the deal, and these things haven't happened. But we don't know how a court's going to rule. So we'll see what the court decides. The court in the past has forced companies to go through with acquisitions and buy companies that they tried to back out of. So there is a precedent for that, but not with a social media tech company. So that part's new.
That was WSJ tech reporter Megan Bobrowski. Thanks, Megan.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, prices are going up on everything around us. Well, almost everything. The exception? Costco's coveted $1.50 hot dog and soda combo. WSJ reporter Joseph De Avila says Costco defies inflation by eating the price of its hot dogs.
So the hot dog has become this important part of the brand image for Costco. It started in 1985 when they first started selling it. And since then, it's become so important to them that they've decided that they are not going to raise the price on it. And the co-founder once told the CEO that there's no way that they're going to raise the price on the hot dog and that they needed to figure out some way to make it work, even if they lost money.
Joseph says if the combo had kept up with the rate of inflation, it would cost about $4 and change by now. And that's What's News for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate us and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.